180 degrees.
Good morning, podcast audience. Hey, listen, this morning I'm going to have a pretty short postal podcast because I made a statement on Monday about if I don't win in a large enough number, that it's a good possibility that local headquarters, to include the judge of elections, is going to tamper with some things. It is my understanding, and after this podcast, you tell me, do I have a reason to feel this way? Let's take it back to 2017. 2016, actually. I've just been removed from the union by the local president, but I'm on the ballot to run. Now, this is where I said that the judge of election, who was the same judge of election, showed me that he's got a lot of shenanigans in his bag of stuff also. And this is why I say that. I was on the election. I was nominated by one of the members out of Columbus. Certified mail was sent in. The selection process was done. I'm on the ballot for branch president, Columbus, Ohio. Well, it seems that the judge of election, with the knowledge of the local president and the current branch president of Columbus at the time, got together and they made a decision. Now, here's what should have happened, and here's what did happen. I'm going to use as a reference the notice of nomination meeting for the local 304 election of officers, the letter that every member should have gotten in the mail. Okay, that's what I'm using as a reference, so follow along if you would. And let's go right down to the next to the last paragraph on the opening page, and it reads as follows. In order to be eligible to run for office, a member must have been in good standings for at least 2 consecutive years prior to the nomination meeting, be current in their dues, and have not been employed in a supervisory capacity for the Postal Service at any time during the 2 years immediately prior to the nomination meeting. Additionally, he or she cannot have applied for a managerial position within the Postal Service or with the Postal Inspection Service or as a confidential informant for any time during that 2-year period. Now, again, I read that verbatim because I wanted you to understand that in the nomination letter, it is outlined the qualifications of what you need to meet in order to be eligible. Now, this is where the judge of elections, your current local president, and the former branch president of Columbus, Ohio, came into it. They wanted me out of the process so bad that they changed that requirement. They changed the 2-year period. They changed, as I just read, in order to be eligible to run, it is clear, nothing's ambiguous. They changed the time period. But what happened was when you set out to do dirt, sometimes you don't think things through. And luckily for me, there was 2 things that really fell in my favor. One, I give a hand clap and a standing ovation to the national office because they stepped in and looked at this nonsense. This was the first time I had to actually go to the national office on our local. And they stepped in and said, wait a minute. If these are the rules, you can't arbitrarily change the rules. And when they arbitrarily change the rules, they changed their time period to a time when I was overseas with the military. So what they did was, I'm in an area overseas supporting justice, for lack of a better phrase, and they got together and thought that they saw where I was missing a dues check. And I was not, when I say missing a dues check, I'm sorry. They saw where I did not pay my dues for a period of time because I'm active duty military. And instead of researching it, they just selected that period. And this is where it gets even more convoluted. Before the old judge of elections, who is the current judge of elections, I don't want to say old, the former judge of elections, who is the current judge of elections, before he even contacted me to tell me there's an issue, he already sent a letter to the former president stating I was disqualified. He was the winner because he ran unopposed. This is why I am so hard or so tenacious on Local 304. It appears that almost every aspect that I get introduced to in this local, there is shenanigans going on. And I'm telling you, I bring none of that with 180 degrees. As your local president, not only don't I operate like that, nobody on the staff will have shenanigans going on. Every single act that we do for this local will be able to be verified and justified. That's a promise. So if you're ever wondering why I don't have nice things to say about our election process, well, let me continue then. And again, all this is overseen by the same judge of elections who arbitrarily changed an election qualification date. He is still your judge of elections to this day. Well, here we go. At the nomination meetings, it was funny because there was three people on his board. Him and two other assistants. But for the actual night of voting, when ballots are counted, there's four people there. I don't know who that fourth person was. And again, I'm only pointing this out to you because I want you to understand that your local, I don't know when they began to go off track, but they are definitely off track. And we need a new, fresh vision to come into Local 304 so that we can get right again. And since I'm going to dedicate this entire podcast to the judge of elections and that whole election process, let me explain to you another, I don't know where they came up with this idea from. Now, you know when you vote for different offices, what makes it easy for the election panel to separate those votes is the colors of paper. So each office has a different color paper to it. Now, and I'm going to try to explain this and make it as clear as possible. When they open the votes, they take all the papers of the same color and they put them in a pile. When they count the votes, they still put them back in a pile. Now, let me tell you why I say a pile instead of separating them into two piles. The local has already got it set up. Anything close that you want to object to the vote count, well, let me tell you, at the end of the day, they are locked in an office inside local headquarters, and the judge of election has access to them. So if we want to change ballots, it's so simple. It just requires you to take a different piece of paper and do a check mark on it. Here's what I'm saying, and here's what I'm recommending. Because I know I'm going to probably have to bring this to fruition on the night these votes are counted. When you count your votes, how about, again, when you open all the ballots, you've got one stack with all same colors. When you count your votes, separate the two so that each candidate who ran has their own stack of votes. Now, if there is a question about the votes, it can be verified right then and right there, all in the about 5 or 10 minutes, because it's just a case of counting each vote just to make sure the stacks are accurate and then the number is accurate. But what you currently have is all votes counted in one pile, one stack, so that when you put them up for the night, it's still one stack. And if you want to tamper, and again, I'm sorry that I have to be in this manner, but Local 304 has given me much reason for me to think in this way. So if you really want to do this right, when it comes to those votes being counted, When you open the sealed envelopes, you put them all in one stack. When you count the ballots for each candidate, you put each candidate's ballots in their own stack, and we keep them separated, so now it's easy to re-verify the number. Now, for those of you that are not real familiar with the goings-on of Local 304, what I just said sounds very elementary. But trust me, I've sat in that election process, the nomination process. I've sat in the actual process where they count the votes. And again, if you have a day to observe, I welcome everybody who can come down to local headquarters and take a look at this process. Come see your local in action. Guarantee you're going to be surprised.
You know, on second thought, yeah, don't come down to local headquarters for the nomination. The reason I say that, because listen, if you actually came down to your local union headquarters and saw the building that housed your headquarters, you'd understand why representation coming out of that building kind of matches the building. So, yeah, I take that back. Don't come down. Because if you come down to local headquarters, you're going to be a little disappointed at what your local union headquarters looks like. And I only say that to end up with that, too, will change once I'm elected your local president. So this podcast that I'm sending out that highlighted some errors on the judge of elections part, again, it was meant to expose what happened to the local, but also, again, that was 2016. I hope maybe we've learned some things since then, and all I want to say to the judge of elections is I'm just asking for a fair opportunity. I'm well aware that you and the current local president have worked together for quite a few number of years. I just hope that you have enough integrity, or you display enough integrity, to let a fair election process take place. And if you do that, then that's all any member could request of the judge of elections. So let's put that nonsense that was attempted against me in 2016, let's put that to the side, and let's move forward with a brand new slate. But just know, only because of past dealings, my attention will be maybe a little more meticulous as I go through the process, and I don't mean to offend or upset you. I'm just asking that you do the right thing, even when no one's looking.
And to my podcast audience, I want to say, I actually recorded this podcast over 45 days ago. And as I'm listening to it then, I said, you know, that's kind of hard. Let's move on. So everything that we talked about in this podcast with that pertains to the judge of elections was from 2016. And then we have another situation, 2019, involving the judge of elections. So he has demonstrated to me personally, the propensity not to do his job right, not to do his job proper, and I am at the mercy of his process as I run for public office or union office. To the members of Local 304, again, I'm demonstrating to you, see, this is how they play ball in Local 304, and I'm trying to bring you a different level or different style of leadership. Because I guarantee you, once I'm elected, the judge of elections will go exactly by protocol. I mean, that's not going to be an issue. But right now, I think that, and again, I say carefully, I think that his commitment to the local president, maybe ask, maybe not ask, but his commitment to the local president is one that says if he has to involve himself in a what they may seem minor infraction during the election process, then he's going to do that. That's what I read. So again,
I'll explain to you why I'm on this kick about the judge of elections. Well, here we go. Nomination meeting was Saturday. Well, again, I realized that I need to put a backup plan in play just in case I couldn't make it. So I did an express mail from Columbus to Cincinnati. Well, let me tell you, I mailed that out on the 16th. It arrived at the post office in Cincinnati on the 17th. But listen to me when I say to you, again, express mail, holding nominations for elected offices. That express mail was not picked up until today. Yes, that's correct. Express mail mailed from Columbus, Ohio on the 16th, reached Cincinnati on the 17th, again, express mail to the judge of elections, was picked up on the 21st. Now, I don't know, because I haven't had a chance to fully examine how the current local president maintains order in this local, but I gotta tell you, if you are the judge of elections, you have a major nomination meeting coming up on Saturday the 19th. As part of the notification of nomination, you give an address to mail in ballots, in the event you're not present. How many people agree with me that that P.O. box should have been checked immediately before the process started on the 19th? Now, again, I hope you check it every day, but maybe you want one accumulation of mail. But no matter what, at least the day of the event, which is nomination meeting, how can the judge of elections neglect to check his post office box? And again, I'm talking express mail. Oh, I'm not going to go as far as to say your current local president probably told him to leave it there, but it happened. So now I have to start correspondence on the national level to get it corrected. But I will say, once he picked up those ballots, oh my goodness gracious, 2 days too late on an express mail, he did acknowledge that I sent it in. And for the folks in Dayton, Ohio, I sent it in early. Yeah, so the individual from Dayton that wants to remind me that there's a process and it's timely, my bid nominations were as late as any grievance you ever thought I filed late. And I want to say, again, just trying to keep it 100, it may have been the oversight not picking up express mails before the ballot meeting. I'm stretching here, but it may have been a complete oversight. It may have been. I don't think so, but it may have been. But because this is the second year in a row, similar sequence of events have come my way, all I'm saying is, can you kind of see why my words are so hard against Local 304? But listen, you've got the power to change that. Right now, the decision lies with you. If you like that nonsense that's going on currently in your local, then I ask you, support it. But if you're ready for a change, if you're ready to really experience what true union solidarity should be and will be, then you have to jump on board with Kenny Hodge and Brother William Kirkland, 180 degrees, as we look to change the leadership in Local 304. And for the members, just to show you how less than professional your current local president can be, because of past dealings with the judge of elections that were not favorable towards me, I sent your current president and your current vice president an email that morning, because when I went online and checked and seen that my express mail had never been picked up, I emailed both headquarters personnel just to let them know I sent it express mail. I gave them the express mail number. So again, had your president had a little more professionalism, I wouldn't have to even post this podcast at all. But since he didn't, I'm going to. Hey, listen, let's have a great day.
And understand, I try to always move in decency and in order. They're not really used to that at your local headquarters at 304, but it is going to be the norm rather than the exception. Have a great day. I'll talk to you tomorrow.